Well, thank God for the privilege of being here today. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and Hopeful lost their way and ended up spending the night on the property belonging to Giant Despair. Giant Despair awoke early in the morning and found the two pilgrims asleep on his land. Then, with a grim and surly voice, he bade them awake and asked them whence they were and what they did in his grounds. They told him they were pilgrims and they had lost their way. Then said the giant, "You have this night trespassed on me by trampling in and lying on my grounds. Therefore, you must go along with me." So they were forced to go because he was stronger than they. They also had but little to say, for they knew themselves in a fault. The giant therefore drove them before him and put them in his castle, into a very dark dungeon, nasty and stinking to the spirit of these two men. Here they lay from Wednesday morning till Saturday night without one bit of bread or a drop of drink or any light or any to ask how they did. They were far from friends and acquaintance. Giant Despair sought counsel from his wife on what he should do with his prisoners. Then she counseled him that when he arose in the morning, he should beat them without any mercy. Giant Despair arose in the morning and began berating them as if they were dogs, then beat them until they were not able to help themselves or to turn them on the floor. The next night, upon finding out the pilgrims were still alive, the giant's wife advised him to encourage the pilgrims to commit suicide. So when morning was come, he goes to them in a surly manner as before, and found them to be very sore with the stripes that he had given them the day before. Giant Despair told them, since they were never likely to come out of that place, their only way to be would be to make an end of themselves, either with knife or halter or poison. "Why," he asked, "should you choose life, seeing it is attended with so much bitterness?" Christian began to contemplate suicide. But his traveling companion Hope said, "The Lord of the country to which we are going hath said, 'Thou shalt do no more murder.' Besides, he that kills another can but commit a murder upon his own body. But for one to kill himself is to kill body and soul at once. And moreover, my brother, thou talkest of ease in the grave, but hast thou forgotten the hell whither for certain of the murderers go? For no murderer hath eternal life." Finally, Christian remembered that he had a key called promise. And with that key, they were able to escape the dungeon and find the king's highway once more. Have you ever been faced with discouragement? John the Baptist was. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Well, John the Baptist found himself in a very different situation. His beheading was imminent. He probably did not know that, but I'm sure he faced some discouragement there in the prison. He probably knew something about the potential. Now, John the Baptist had come from preaching before large groups of people that would come out to him. John the Baptist had Jesus say, "Among women, there's no greater man born." There were things that would have bolstered his courage, his hope in life. But then he found himself in prison. And the question is, how could a man go from being so encouraged, from being so effective in the ministry, to a place where he asks Christ, whom he had identified as the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, how could he go to a place where he's asking, "Are you really him?" Well, if discouragement can reach John the Baptist, I believe it can reach each one of us, don't you? Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. And verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Verse 9, And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Aren't you glad how when we get into a place of discouragement that the Lord will come looking for us? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So God sent a strong wind. He sent an earthquake. He sent a fire. And then he spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. Verse 13. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. See, Lord, I was doing what was right in life, and now I'm being hunted. Now my life is at risk. I thought I was doing your work, Lord. You know, we can get pretty discouraged sometimes. They have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it came to pass, it shall come to pass, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah said, I'm the only one left. Pretty discouraged. But God can see a bigger picture than we can, can't he? God saw those other 7,000. And perhaps this gave Elijah cause to be encouraged. You think about Elijah and his experience, and the question is, how could a man that prayed and God sent fire from heaven just a very short time before that, how could he get to such a place of discouragement so quickly? Well, there were 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah prayed this prayer, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the Lord sent the fire down that consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water, consumed the dust, the stones. He turned the heart of Israel back to God. That should have encouraged him a lot, shouldn't it? But yet, he found himself in a place of real discouragement. Well, I believe all of us are humans. I believe all of us face times in life that we just feel discouraged. Consider David, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 3. 1 Samuel 30 and 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice this, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David is one of my heroes, isn't he yours? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Asaph. Have you seen the name Asaph on various of the Psalms? You know who Asaph was? He was a son of Levi, a grandson of Israel. And Asaph was one of the people, one of the men that David had set over the song ministry of the temple. Asaph wrote Psalm 73. Let's read there. Do you think that Asaph, in the ministry of song, ever saw the glory of the Lord come down in the temple? Do you think he saw people with tears of joy coming down their cheeks? That he heard the harmony of the music and that his soul was thrilled? That the glory of the Lord filled his soul? Do you think there were times in Asaph's life that he was really encouraged? Well, there came a place in Psalm 73 that he wrote about where he was not encouraged. Truly, God is to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph, you might say, was a musician, perhaps a singer, perhaps a composer in the worship of the Lord. I suspect the pay for that was not real good. And Asaph looked around and he saw other people that it seemed like they were doing so well. Here he was serving God in the temple, and there were others who had not done so that were just prospering so much. My feet almost slipped because I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 15, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Asaph had the advantage of being very close to the sanctuary of God. And there's something about the sanctuary of God that causes the clouds of discouragement to go away and renews our hope. What a blessing to spend time with the Lord, to spend time with Jesus, and those discouragements that come to every one of us can go away. Consider Job. All of the things that befell him would have been awfully discouraging, wouldn't it? Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I suspect you feel discouraged as well. How many of the things that happened to Job have happened to me or happened to you? I think we have cause, when discouraging times come to us, to lift our heads up. That the things that happened to Job haven't happened to me yet. Well, here are some of the things that happened to Job. The Sabaeans captured his cattle and donkeys and killed his servants. That'd be enough to make you pretty upset, wouldn't it? Fire from God fell from heaven, burning up the sheep and other servants. Oh, by the way, Job, also, the Chaldeans captured camels and killed more servants. And then this message comes in: wind knocked down the oldest son's house and killed all your sons. And then Satan smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And then the one very closest to him, his wife, said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." If anyone has excuse to be discouraged, it seemed like it ought to be Job. But I appreciate his example, that in all of these things, he didn't sin, he didn't charge God foolishly. May God help us to take courage when things come our way that may discourage us. Consider Jonah. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 4. Then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul, the depth closed round about me, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple." Job knew where to look when things got discouraging. "When I am cast out of your sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple." Well, what about you and me? None of us are discouraged, or none of us are immune to discouragement reaching us from time to time. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." It's impossible for us to get through this life and some discouraging things not come our way. Let me say that a little more clearly. Discouraging things will come our way in this life. It's inevitable. Jesus says it's impossible that it won't happen. So that means there's going to be some discouragement ahead. I remember a Dave Ramsey quote. He was saying something about to prepare for bad times ahead, and somebody told him, "Be positive." And he said, "I am positive. Bad times are ahead," something to that effect. It will come. There will be discouraging times for all of us, times that we need some help. We need to be able to look back to the temple of God and get some help. Acts chapter 14 and 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation. Through some discouraging times. Through temptations. Through disappointments. Well, how is it that we find courage when we face discouraging times? I think we need to look to the right source, don't you? Just like Jonah did. I will look to the temple. That's where I will send my prayer. Just like David did. He encouraged himself where? In his own strength, his own looks, his own successes on the battlefield? No. In the fact that he was anointed king? No. In the Lord his God. He found new courage. They were talking about stoning him. It was everybody against him. but he found courage in God, the Lord his God. Psalms 56 and 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's where we can renew our courage in the Lord. So what do we do to find courage? One thing is we look to the right source. If we're looking for circumstances to change, we're looking for other people to change, we're looking for our trials to go away, we're probably going to stay discouraged. But if instead we look to the correct source, we look to the Lord our God, we can take new courage in life. Hebrews 13 and 6, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's turn to Psalms 61. Where do we look? How do we renew courage when we feel discouraged? Well, we need to look to the right source. Let's look at Psalms 61, verse 1. Psalm 61 and 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I am. There is a rock that is stable through the time of this entire world. There is a rock that is stable through every storm, through every discouragement. There is a rock, Lord, lead me there to renew my courage. How do we find courage in those times that we feel discouraged? One way is to count your blessings. We had an elderly brother when I was a young person from West Virginia, and I remember him at the Monarch Camp Meeting up there singing a song, and it was name your many blessings, count them one by one. That stood in my memory. I want to ask the congregation this morning, are there any blessings that we need to remember? Okay. I'd like to write it down. What I want to do, I want to erase this discouragement. Does anybody have any blessing? All right. You what?
I prayed last week at the camp meeting for direction.
Okay.
God got me about faithful to count casinos.
All right. God's guidance. All right. Anyone else? Do we have any blessings? Pardon?
Love.
We have family. I feel courage. Building. What else? Salvation. Are you glad for that? Has it been a blessing to you? Has it been a cause to renew courage when things get discouraging? What else? Okay, I guess this will be like blood family, and then we have family of God. Isn't that a blessing? Just have somebody text you and say, "How are you doing? I got a text last evening. I heard you've been sick." Well, I appreciated that. Somebody else say something?
He hears our prayers.
He answers prayer. Well, this was a lot better than what happened to the prophets of Baal, isn't it? They were cutting themselves. They were crying aloud. And it was not working. Has God answered prayer for anybody? Do we have reason to be encouraged? All right, somebody else said something.
She said friends.
Well, that, you know, people commit suicide because they feel like they don't have any friends sometimes. Isn't that a blessing to have friends? I'm thankful for friends. What else? Pardon? Feet.
Peace.
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't hear real well. All right, what else?
Daily,
he daily loadeth us with what? Benefits. Daily, he loads us, right? Daily provisions. What is endless? Oh, the list. Would somebody bring some more boards, please? Or have we run out? Now see, when we get discouraged, it's good to start thinking about, thank you, God, for this, for that, for that, for that. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Hope of heaven. Bookcase, 3 years old.
Yes.
And it toppled over on top of
him.
Wow. And when I went in there and lifted it, I expected to see him crushed. It was all wood.
Mm-hmm.
But his head was right in between two shelves. Wasn't hurt a bit. Another time he fell off of a top of a bunk bed. Wasn't hurt a bit. I'm thankful for those times that
yes.
don't even know the dangers. But
yes.
God intervenes.
And that's happened for so many of us, hasn't it? So, you know what? Satan doesn't want us to focus on this over here. He wants us to focus on the problem we face right now, or what somebody said, or what somebody did. Lord, help us to realize, look, okay, yeah, there have been some disappointments in life, there have been some discouragements, but just look at all of this that God has been doing. And it ought to renew courage and hope in life. Stand on the promises. Do we have any promises in the Bible? Lo, I am with you always. Always? Yes. Always. Even unto what? Times get really hard? Until your friends forsake you? No, unto the end of the world. That's the promise of Jesus. That's comforting to me. That ought to encourage me. The Lord has promised to be with me all the way to the end of the world. Wow, what a friend. What an encouraging thing. She's thankful for her spiritual mentors and teachers in her life, and thank God. You know, I remember Brother Leslie Busby, and I'm kind of diverging here, but I remember Brother Leslie Busby preaching a message about the memory of the just is blessed. And he was telling about his mentors and the spiritual forefathers that went before him and how he was blessed. And oh, he was just bubbling, explaining this to us. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a rich heritage. What a blessing. So we stand on the promises as a method of fighting discouragement. Let your conversation be without covetousness, Hebrews 13 and 5, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. How about the trials that come our ways? How about the temptations? Should this discourage us? Because the love of many is because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Should our love wax cold too? Well, here's the promise that should keep us from being discouraged. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. How do we fight discouragement when discouragement comes our way? Well, one is to consider other people. Psalms 37 and 37, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. It doesn't say, consider the perfect man, the upright, because he has no discouraging things that come his way in life. It doesn't say that. It says the end of that man is peace. So in spite of the discouragements, in spite of the disappointments of life, if we hold on to the Lord, our end is peace. That ought to give us new courage. Have you found anybody in the Bible who has trusted God and God failed them? There's not one. God has been there for every single one. In fact, folks sitting right here, God has been there for us. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So the psalmist saw that. That was his testimony. Of all the people I've ever known in my life, I've never known one person of the righteous that God failed. From youth to old age. Pretty good testimony, isn't it? Verse 23. Pardon? That's wonderful, isn't it? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Psalms 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That ought to encourage us. Even if we stumble, we're not talking about going into sin. Even if we make mistakes, even if things don't go right, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, if we cannot find enough people in the Bible who God has helped through discouraging times, how about just going to Hebrews 11 and reading about those folks? The one person after person after person that God helped in difficult times. How is it that we fight discouragement when discouragement comes our way? By helping other people. How's that for a tool? When I was a teenager, I battled depression pretty badly sometimes. And I remember one time my dad encouraged me to focus on helping other people. See, when we shift our view away from what our problems are, and we start asking someone else, is there something I can do to help you? It gets our mind off the problem, and it renews our courage. And we get a blessing for helping somebody else. In fact, it says in Galatians 6 and 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we obey the law of Christ, when we bear the burdens of other people, you know what they want to do when they see us under a burden? They want to help bear our burden. Isn't that how this is supposed to work anyway? Isn't that a part of this blessing of the family of God? Is that we are there for each other in times of need? The song says, sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. I'm tempted oft to murmur, to grumble and complain. But then I think of Jesus and all he's done for me. Then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. We have a whole lot to be encouraged about. So many blessings. How about the country we live in? Isn't it a blessing we live in a free country? There are folks that would love this privilege here today that are unable. There are folks that have no running water and really have no hope of ever having running water in their homes. We have food. Is anybody here worried about what you're going to be able to eat tomorrow? There are people that are facing that daily. There are people I've seen in another part of the world dressed in rags. Torn rags. I think I have a whole lot to be encouraged about, to be thankful for. And even if I become like Job, even if I lose my feet and cannot walk, I still have a whole lot to be encouraged about. Because we have so much. Because we have that hope of heaven. Satan would like to keep us focused on the problem and not on the one that helps us out of the problem. On the problem and not the friend that has promised to be with us all the way to the end of the world. So, number one, look to the right source. Number two, count your blessings. Number three, stand on promises. Number four, consider others that have trusted the Lord and been helped by God. Number five, help others rather than focus on your own discouragement or needs. So I hope this has been an encouragement today, and may God bless you, each one in the congregation, and let us always look to that rock that's higher than us. Amen.